Blog Talk Radio.
Fellowship Network. I am your host, Archbishop Marcia Karen Abrams, and just wanted just to thank God for this opportunity to come before your presence and in the presence of the Lord to give all glory, praise, and honor to Jehovah El Shaddai. As we begin our broadcast with prayer and scripture reading, starting with Psalms 91, and we will be discussing the subject of adultery tonight. Adulterers and adulteress. We're going to continue in the same vein as we started on the broadcast on last night with this subject. We're going to re-air about an hour or so of maybe 2 hours worth of yesterday's broadcast as well. Amen. But I just want to start with prayer. Amen. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord God, for just the grand and glorious opportunity to worship your precious and holy name. We thank you, Lord God, for just the activities of my limbs and a reasonable, reasonable health, Lord God, and wellness, Lord God. And we thank you, Father, for just your healing power and your tender mercies, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for your precious Holy Ghost. And we thank you, Lord God, for the angels, Lord God, that you've dispatched to help us, Lord God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, thank you, Lord God, for the precious Son, your precious Son, Jesus, that died on Calvary's cross for our sins. And we thank you, Lord God, that you blessed us just another day just to glorify your holy name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We want to ask, Lord God, for traveling mercy for Apostle Bishop Dr. Charlene M.B. Abrams, Sr., as he travels, Lord God, and to his various destinations, Lord God. Keep him safe from all hurt, harm, and danger, both seen as well as unseen, Father. You know all things, Lord God, and we put him into your hand, Father, Lord God, to deal with him as you so seem and see fit to do, Lord God. We bless your holy name, Lord God, and we thank you, Father, for hearing our prayer tonight. We pray that you'll answer everyone's prayer during the broadcast who needs to hear from you, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that something that is said will help them and heal them and or plant a seed, Lord God, for healing and deliverance, Lord God, to come about upon them. We thank you, Lord God, for your precious Son, Jesus Christ, and his shed blood. Amen. That covers all our sins, a multitude of sins. We thank you, Lord God. I ask you, Lord God, right now to forgive us of all of our sins in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you. Holy Spirit, we ask that you come into this broadcast tonight and to be a part of this broadcast, to rule and super rule as we disseminate the word of God. Lead us and guide us into all truth. Amen. And comfort those that need comfort in right now. Touch their heart, those that that have a broken heart and things are happening to them. We ask, Lord God, that you just visit them right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord God. Angels of God, we command that you go to the north, south, east, west, northeast, and southeast, northwest, and southwest, so that you can protect our communication line, so that the word of God will go forward without any interruptions in the name of Jesus Christ. Angels, go now, I pray, and bring back into my hand all the resources that I need to deliver the word of God. Amen, to the people of God. Bless your people everywhere, Lord God. I pray and pronounce favor upon them, Lord God, and blessings for this new year, 2014. I thank you, Lord God, for just healing them. Amen. Hallelujah. And I say to one, and I say to all, Happy New Year for 2014. Amen. This is the first Sunday of the year. Amen. And we normally do communion and things like that, but I think we'll work on that for next week. Amen. Psalms 91 reads, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snares of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilent that walk in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lions and the adders, the young lions and the dragons shalt thou trample under feet, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. I read in your hearing Psalms 91 from the King James Version, the Word of God for the people of God. Amen. All right. So what we're going to start, we're going to continue the segment as we started on last night's broadcast, dealing with adultery, adulterers, adulteress, and marriage, and moving forward. Amen. And there were some scriptures that we didn't get a chance to cover on last night, and I'm going to re-air a clear version of the broadcast, because when I re-listened to it, it was a lot of static that was going on. I had the audio and the cameras and a lot of system, and so they had a lot of reverberation and feedback, so we're going to bring it back to you clearer so that you can get a better feel as to what we talked about on last night. And it's a subject that is so well needed for this nation and, you know, for families, couples, and for, you know, the world, really. It's a global problem. Amen. And it has to be addressed. And I just thank God for those that have asked me to talk about these things. And, you know, I'm thanking God that he's given me the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to address the issue that is hurting so many people and destroying so many lives. Amen. So we want this nation to be healed. We want you to be healed. And we want your children to be healed and, you know, your family to be healed, all your kinsmen. It just, it really is something that mushrooms, you know. It hurt one, it hurt two, it hurts everyone, you know. We are our brother's keepers, and this is a subject, is a very sore subject, and we're going to put some salt in it to heal this wound. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me now as we stopped at the last two scriptures that we had talked about was found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 14, and then Deuteronomy 5, verse 18. So let's start there, and then we'll move forward. Amen? Exodus chapter 20, verse 14 is the scripture that, you know, is part of the Ten Commandments. And I read from the King James Version because I'm very comfortable with it, and I really like the way it feels, kind of like a romantic type of a reading, more poetic, you know, and so forth. But I really enjoy reading from the old King James Version. The new King James Version is okay, but I still love the old King James Version. Okay, so Exodus 20, verse 14 says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Amen. As I said earlier, that God instructed Moses. He gave these words to Moses to give to the children of Israel so that they can know what, you know, what is best for them, so that they can be in good health. And it's best for them, what's best for them back then is best for us now. Amen. There's certain things that you are not to do, and when you do these things, they cause a lot of pain. And adultery is the main one. It causes a lot of pain, division, and hurt. And very, you know, some people really get so hurt that they are, you know, go like beside themselves. They can't function anymore. It's a devastating blow. Amen. So we have to talk about these things so that, you know, maybe people will pay attention to the details, and maybe they don't realize how much it hurts. And so, you know, sometimes hurting people hurt others. You know, they are hurting, and so they don't know how to give love. They're thinking that they are giving love by committing adultery with other wives or another man's wife or another female that is outside of their marriage. That person may be single, but they're not given love. They're actually given nothing but sheer pain and anguish, and it's really devastating for all parties that participate in this act. Amen. All right, so now turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 18. It says, "Neither shall thou commit adultery." So Deuteronomy just restated what Exodus said, okay? All right? So these Ten Commandments are one that many people don't want to hear anymore or hear from. Well, the reason why people are committing things is because they don't know the rules and the regulations anymore. You know, it's not addressed and it's not talked about and it's not taught. And so how can you know something if you're not taught it, right? But the laws of the land as well as the laws of God, ignorance is not an option. It's not an excuse. You know, so there's laws that are written in the historical law libraries, you know, from the foundation of the United States of America. You can go and read all of these laws, and if you commit an offense on any of the laws, you can get in trouble. you know, because the lawyers will go and do their research and find the precedents and so forth, you know. Same thing with the Word of God. The laws of the land actually are based on the Word of God, you know. And so here is the law that both heaven and earth agrees with. Yet if an adultery is committed, there's laws and ramification from it to the point that a judge will, you know, authorize a divorce because of it, you know. Now, a wife can forgive her husband as well as the husband can forgive the wife that has committed the act, but there's such a tear, such a sore, such a scar, such a wound, you know, it's a devastating blow that when the husband find out that his wife has committed this act, you know, he, you know, can go into a rage of jealousy. And looking at the Bible, you know, the Word of God says that husband, the jealousy is the right of the husband. And back in the day, they used to stone people that were caught in the act of adultery, you know. And I believe some countries, even today, will still do the same thing, you know. So this is a very serious offense, and it causes a mushroom effect of pain. You know, everyone gets hurt by this. Even the thought of someone committing that act, you know, some people are so sensitive to this issue that they, if they think that their wife is out of order in any way, talking to another man, they will go into a jealous rage, you know, and sometimes, you know, be violent with the woman and she hasn't done anything. So the thought of adultery is very serious, and it's devastating, and so it needs to be addressed. And so that's why we're talking about it, and it's a very raw subject. Amen. But only when the truth comes out can we be made heal. This truth shall set us free. So adultery causes people to go to other people. You know, I mean, you know, the reason why it happens, as we talked about, and you'll hear in the broadcast a little later on, is the neglect of both couples neglecting each other. You know, it's a two-way street, you know. The wife is either neglecting her spouse, her husband, or the husband is neglecting the wife. And because they're so busy, there's many reasons. You know, some people, since we're in the ministerial type of arena, says that their, you know, their job, which is, you know, the Word of God and you know, ministering to the people, ministering to the saints. Well, the first ministry that any man has is his own house. His own wife is his first ministry that he should minister to. Same thing for the wife. The first ministry that she has, you know, she may be a leader in the church and so forth, but it is to her husband to minister to that soul, to minister to him, to see about how he is doing and if he's well or not. It's not just about feeding his belly and so forth, as the old saying said, you know, that, you know, you satisfy a man's stomach, you know, or his belly, you know, he's a happy person. It's not just that. You have to satisfy everything, you know. Men do not think like women, okay, nor do women think like men. And there's some books written about that, you know, secular books that talks and address the issue. Nevertheless, the two have to come together in a joint effort to save their marriage or to make each other happy, you know, to see how your body is doing, you know. Because remember, the Bible says that the bed is undefiled, right? And the twain become one. Amen. In Genesis, when God created man and woman, he created the first union and the first marriage. And Adam, when he saw Eve, he said that she was flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, and we're one, you know. And so God also gave instruction to the man that he should leave his family, his kinsmen. He said that to Abraham, you know, for example, before he made that covenant, that he needed to leave his whole kindreds and everything and take his wife, Sarai. Amen. He didn't tell him to take anybody else, just her and himself and go. And she was his sister, by the way, back then. You know, things were happening. It was closer, you know. But nevertheless, the two become one. Husband and wife have to leave their mother and father and join together as one and cleave to each other. So if there's no cleaving, then adultery comes in the mix of that, because sin is at the door. I'm serious. And Satan is ready to sift you as wheat if you don't take care of each other's body and the need and the functions that, you know, you are naturally created to do. All right? So let's move on now into Proverbs chapter 6. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 6. And what I do is to hear from the Lord, I need to read his word. And in studying his word and reading the scriptures, then I hear from the Lord. And then the Holy Spirit takes full control of the broadcast, because he'll bring all things to my remembrance as what God has said. Amen. So we stick to the word of God so that we don't lead anyone astray. Okay, so Proverbs chapter 6, verse 32 says, "But whoso commit adultery with a woman lack understanding. He that does it destroy his own soul." Amen? So verse 34, which I've already stated, says, "For jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content through, or though thou give him many gifts." You know, many people have committed the act of murder because of this adulterous relationship that has happened. You know, they kill the wife, or they kill both lovers, you know. They're caught in the act, or the society stone the people, or stone the woman. Usually they take it out on the woman, and the man goes scot-free. But he's not free, because here in verse 32 it says that, you know, whosoever committed adultery, so they're talking about a man there, with a woman lack understanding, and he is destroying his own soul. Because this thing eats up your mortal body. It eats up your mind. It eats up your soul. It eats up your spirit. You're not really happy at all. You commit an act. It's a very short period of time, as we talked about in yesterday's broadcast. And, you know, we laughed and joke about and jest and so forth. But it's a very serious matter. And I believe that the Lord wants the kingdom of God here on earth to speak and address this issue, and so that the church can be healed. Amen. Because there's too many divorces rampant. It's just rampant in the church. You know, over 50% of the church are getting divorced from one another, whereas the other that are single wants to get married to a godly man, or, you know, a godly woman, you know. But when they get married, they have to understand, you have to take care of the needs of the flesh. It says when you're single, you will consider the thoughts of God, you know, and how you may serve him, how you may worship him, and so forth, you know. Your mind is only stayed on the Lord. But once you desire the world, which is to have a husband, to have a soulmate, to have a man or a woman in your life, okay, to have someone to live with forever. That's what it's supposed to be, forever, forever. Once that union comes together, it should be together forever. Marriage is work. God's word said that now a woman, your desire belongs to your husband, the flesh. You have to take care of your husband. Amen? Hallelujah. And again, earlier in the broadcast, I stated that your body belongs to your husband, and your husband's body belongs to you. They don't have any reason to go outside of each other. You know, there's no excuse that can ever be made for the man to leave his home to go to another woman and entertain her and nurture that flower over there in that other garden. He needs to stay at home and take care of his business at home. And same thing for the wife. She needs to stay at home and take care of her husband. Water that flower so it can grow. Amen. You know, a lot of people take so much good care of their animals in their house, or some people love plants. They take very good care of the plants, you know. The plant don't even bear any fruit, but they just really take so much care about, you know, the time to water it, and if it's in the sun too long, or move it to the shade, and they do so much, bring it indoors, bring it outdoors, they do so much for this plant, and if it's a herbal plant or, you know, a fruit tree or, you know, vegetable plant, they take so much care in cultivating that seed so it will grow so that they can, you know, eat from, you know, the fruit that bears from these plants, you know. Yet when it comes to the human body and human being, we don't care of each other. We don't spend time taking care and paying attention to the details that really matters, you know, because everything else is nothing. Everything else is nothing, you know, because if the two are not happy, all the money in the world is worth nothing. You see, it's just frustrations and stuff like that, you know. And so the two have got to try very hard to get along so that this act of adultery will never come into your marriage. Amen? Amen. Now, I addressed a subject earlier that there are some men that are whoremongers, and whoremongers mean a person that have to have, you know, sexual activity all the time. You know, they have to have all these different women because they lust in, you know. Well, that's not a natural, that's not nature, that's not natural, you know, it's just greed. You know, really, and it brings about perversion, and it brings about lying, and it brings about theft, and, you know, it brings about so many hurt, you know, a person who does such a thing, because he's left a woman that loves him. I was reading a scripture, and I think it's so applicable. It was found in Psalms chapter 49. Let's turn to that briefly. And I just say this is so appropriate. It's talking about a man that's honored. You know, God has given him wealth and riches, and he's honored by having a wife. Okay, verse 12, Psalms 49, verse 12 says, "Nevertheless, man being in honor abided not; he is like a beast that perish." You know. And also verse 20 also depicts that as well. It says, "Man that is in honor and understandeth not, he is like the beast that perished." You know? God is not going to put up with the nonsense, you know. At the end of the day, you know, people say, "Well, I'm going to live my life the way I want to live it, you know, and you can't tell me what to do with my body. I can do whatever I want to do." But God has told you what to do with your body, you know. He has, and you need to listen, you know, so that at the end of the day, God can say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter therein," you know. You don't want God to say to you, or Jesus Christ actually to say to you, you know, "I never knew you," you know. You know, go into utter darkness, you know. You don't want that to be the call on your life, but that is going to be the call, because there's another scripture that, we will get to it, that says specifically that adulterers will not make it into the kingdom of heaven. You know, it will not, you know. They may be enjoying themselves and, you know, saying sweet words into your ears, but both of you are not going to make it in. And many people are in the church that are doing these things. okay? So, you know, you have good works, but at the end of the day, you know, your reward is not going to be your long eternity with the Heavenly Father, you know, rejoicing and praising God forever. It's not. It's going to be in torment, because the things that you do in your mortal body here on earth is the same thing that you will be experiencing, but it'll be torment over and over and over for your long eternity. Torment and pain and anguish. So, you know, this is a time to repent, y'all, you know, and say, look, I'm not going to do that again anymore, because this is a new year. Amen. So let's go into the new year and make a vow to the Lord, make a vow to yourself, make a vow to your spouse that I'm not going to go outside of this marriage. I'm going to work on this. You know, both husband look into, you know, the wife's eyes and the wife look into your husband's eye and say, you know, and maybe shake hand and make a written contract. You know, you don't have to go to court to settle the matter. You can talk to each other. You know, no matter how hurtful your situation and circumstances happening to you right now, you can say, look, I forgive you. Let's forgive each other. Please forgive me for not paying attention to you. So let's work this out. And we were going to stay together, and we're going to make this thing work. Amen? Turn again to another scripture. Let's go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah is the weeping prophet. Amen. And he was crying out about this subject. He's always crying. Jeremiah spent a lot of years in pain preaching this gospel, and incarcerated as well, amen. Because, you know, he just wanted the children of Israel at that time to, you know, pay attention to the word of God and do right by God, but they would not. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 8 through 9, and then Jeremiah 5, verse 7, and Jeremiah 7, verse 9, and Jeremiah 29, verse 23. For those that are taking notes, let's read Jeremiah 3, verse 8 through 9. It reads, "And I saw when for all the causes whereby backslide in Israel committed adultery, I have put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also." Okay, so, you know, verse 9 says, "And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks." Amen. And finally, I'll read 10. And says, "And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah had not turned unto me with her whole heart, but friendly said the Lord." Anyway, I didn't pronounce that correctly, but nevertheless, what God is saying, when we serve other things or look at other things outside of God himself, we ourselves are committing adultery against God himself, because God himself is a very jealous God. So the church belongs to God. Jesus Christ died for the church. The church was developed by Jesus Christ. He said to his best friend, his dear friend Peter, he said, "Upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." God himself go and defend the church, you know, by any means possible. He will destroy anything that comes up against the church. Amen. And any nation, people, kindreds, even the church itself, he'll destroy those that's within the body to, you know, he'll cast out those that are corrupting it. He'll open up the earth. He's done it time and time and time again throughout history. So here, you know, the nation is going a-whoring after other gods. Now, what is gods? Small g. It could be money. Money is a god to many people. It could be your car. It could be your house, your land. It could be your children, you know. So adultery is not just sexual intercourse with two people. It is also perverted to God if you serve other things, other idols outside of him. He doesn't like it, and he's very upset about it. And he wants your whole heart. And a man that loves a woman wants her whole heart. And the woman that loves a man wants his whole heart. You know, we're shaped in the image of God. We're created in the image of God. And so we have the same sensations as God. God also has our sensations because he created us to feel these things, you know. And the desire of your husband is what the woman has to fulfill, and the desire of the wife is what the husband has to fulfill, so that adultery will not ever, ever take place. We ought to love God as a church. And if we love God, we need to repent wholly as the body of Christ. We need to say, Lord God, forgive me for this act that I've done. You can say it out loud or you can say it to yourself, but please, in your secret closet, go and repent to God. Tell him you won't do these things anymore. Amen? Turn from your wicked ways. The word of God says, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen? Hallelujah. He wants us, he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, you know, and pray and turn 360 degrees, stop doing that which you were doing last year, 2013 and beyond that, and start fresh in this new year. Turn from your wicked ways and start to serve God. That if Baal be Baal, serve Baal. But if God be God, serve God. Man cannot serve two masters. Either he'll love the one and hate the other, or he will despise the one and love the other. You understand what I'm saying? So a man cannot love two women. He cannot. He cannot be divided like that. There's no way. I don't care what comes out of his mouth. If he says, I love you, and you know within your heart that man does not love you, you need not to, you know, pursue that relationship because you already know that he's a married man. You know, and married men that are pursuing married women, you know, that's you're already going into an adulterous relationship from, you know, out the gate. You know, because you already know she's married and she already know you're married and you're making a date to come together for what? Only to commit adultery, you know. So, you have to try very hard to take care of the marriage that you have, the one that you said, I do to, I will, you know, I'll try my best in sickness or in health, you know, you know, riches for richer or poorer, you know. You want to do as much as you can to communicate with that other partner to let them know, I need help and I need you to help me to love you and I need you to work with me. And, you got to talk to each other and work this thing out and then satisfy each other's needs so that no one go outside of that bedroom to someone else. Amen? Because God is not happy when you do such a thing. Amen. Jesus Christ is not. You're putting another wound, a sword in his, piercing him in his side one more time. Amen. You really are. You're putting the hammer and the nail into his hands. You're nailing him to the cross one more time. Because remember, Jesus Christ sits on the right hand of God, and he's constantly advocating for you. Constantly. And Satan, his job, he's constantly going to God and saying, look, don't you see this is happening right now? And open your eyes, God, look at what your children are doing. he's always an accuser of the brethren, you know. So don't let Satan, you know, go, you know, be jack-slapping God all the time because of you. Jesus got to go in and, you know, Father, forgive them. Remember the cross. Remember the blood. See the blood, you know. I died for their sins. But, you know, it's all good, you know, just give them another chance, Father. You know, but see, God is not going to, you know, tolerate us too much longer, you know, because God's wrath is something else. He will not chide with man for very long, you know. It says that his mercy endured forever, but there's coming a time when, you know, that, you know, everybody has to make recompense for the deeds done in their mortal body. You know, and so these are deeds that are done. This is the only sin that you commit with your body. All other sins are outside of the body, but adultery or fornication are done with the body, within the body, and it causes such great hurt. The children know that you ain't right, Daddy. You know, the children know that that's not your wife, and that's not their mama, and they're like, what are you doing? You know. Because I don't care if they're 4 years old. They know that that woman you're talking to is not mama. And what are you doing, Dad, talking to that lady? You know, you've been talking for 1 minute too long. And same thing, the child knows when, you know, the mother is flirting with another man that's not, you know, the child's father. You know, and so they get hurt right there because they see this thing going on, you know, right in the church, right in the church. I'm not talking to anyone outside of the church. I'm talking to the body of Christ, the body of believers, and these things are happening. If it wasn't happening, God wouldn't have put it in the book, the Holy Bible. It's thread throughout from Genesis to Revelation, God's preachers and teachers, prophets and apostles talked about these problems of what adultery can do. Stay away from it. You know, it's best to constrain yourself than to burn in hell. You know, it's better to marry than to burn, right? So once married, you need to commit to one another. And marriage is hard. I mean, some marriage is excruciatingly painful, you know, it really is, you know, because of jealousy, because of many things, but you made a commitment with someone, and it's best to stay with that person, and if Moses wrote the law, you know, and it's a selfish person that does divorce, you know, another person, really it is, it's always about themselves. You know, it's never that, well, I want to work this thing out. They're just selfish. They don't want to put up with anything anymore. And they can. You can. So a bill of divorcement is done. But when you know, an adulterous relation occur and you do a bill of divorcement, the Bible also speaks that you're not to marry again. You know, you should stay single. I was listening to this young woman. Well, I don't know if she's younger or older. She was talking to me, and she said, it's okay if I want to sleep with someone. You know, it's my right. It's my body. Well, I'm saying to you, young lady, that it's not okay because the Bible says that thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not commit, if you're single, fornication. You shouldn't be sleeping around because you're hurting that man. You're hurting yourself, and you're hurting the people that's connected to that man, you know. And some people go into relationship not asking, you know, especially women, not asking the man if he's married or not. They just start a relationship. And sometimes year-long relationship, 2 years have gone by, 3 years have gone by, 4 or 5. And then something happens to find out that this man's been married this whole time that you was with him. Now, that's a devastating blow. And I tell you, it happens, you know. It causes things to happen, you know, like adulterous relationship causes sometimes children to be born from that union, you know. And so here you have an innocent child being born in a relationship that the family, you know, that he's born into hate him or her, You know, the trial had nothing to do with it. But Daddy went into another woman, and that other woman conceived. She kept the child, and now, you know, this is going to be a lifelong drama for that child's life forever, you know, and the child's children and the children's children and so on and so forth because of what Daddy did for a moment in time. So it is best to yield not to temptation, for yield in his sin. Amen. That's a song, by the way. Yield not to temptation, for yield in his sin. Amen. Hallelujah. God will always give you a way of escape, you know. As we were talking on the broadcast, we heard how someone was tempted, and you'll hear it again tonight, but they had a way of escape. It was a business relationship, but it was supposed to be a business relationship, but the woman started to seduce the gentleman, and he was strong enough to not to succumb to the temptation. Amen? Now, let's turn now to the Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 23, all right? And it says, because they have committed valiantly in Israel and have committed adultery with their neighbors' wives and have spoken lie and words in my name, which I have not commanded them, even I know and am a witness, says the Lord. Particular scenario is when any time an adulterous situation occurs, lies, the spirit of lies rise itself up and start speaking, okay? It's immediate. It's kind of like it works hand in hand. There's a lot of partners that join in with adultery. You have lying spirits. You have jealousy. The jealous spirit rises up. Murdering spirit rises up. Because it can lead to that. And as I said earlier in broadcast on yesterday, that in God's word, say jealousy, it belongs to the man, you know, and there's nothing that can appease that man when he finds out that his wife stepped out on him. And that other man, you know, he will literally, he has the right to destroy that person. And in some states, you know, it's called a crime of passion. He will not even serve one day in jail. He will never be incarcerated for committing the act. But the Bible says, thou shalt not murder, you know, thou shalt not kill, and so forth. But I'm telling you, it's deep. It's very deep. God speaks against this thing. God's a witness against this thing. The eyes of the Lord is upon you when you man or you woman is in bed with someone else that's not your spouse. God sees that. And Jesus Christ is advocating for your life. Because at that moment, I'm telling you, both of you can have a heart attack and die right there. Because the passion that occurs during the act, you know, is so powerful. Your heart is beating, I don't know, millions and millions of miles per hour. You know, some people even get a migraine headache because of it, because you get blown away. It's so powerful, you know, it's a force, you know. Some people have died, actually, in the act when they're, you know, in engaged. Amen? And so this is serious. It's death and life is in the power of the tongue. This thing can kill you. Literally, after you get up out of the bed from that act, if you live through it, you can literally physically and emotionally die, spiritually, everything. You just don't feel good. You can literally hate that woman that you just lied with and totally despise her. If you look at David's household, when because of the sin that he committed, one of the things that he told God, you know, I'd rather you judge me. So, you know, the sin caused a division of his kingdom. And one of his sons was in love with his daughter. And that was his sister, but it was his stepsister. And he loved her so much, and it was the only girl and Tamara, I believe her name is. And he loved her so much. And David's older brother's son, you know, so his cousin enticed David's son to go ahead and seek after Tamara and let her cook for you and, you know, bring her into your palace and so forth. So he enticed the girl to come into his home and so forth, and she cooked for him, and he played that he was sick because his cousin told him to do this, you know, because David's brother, the oldest brother, was jealous of David. It's a really sad story, but this is the truth. You can read it. Nevertheless, fornication was there at the gate. He raped his sister, okay? And now the sister now is no longer a virgin, so, you know, her clothes is now no longer going to have that beautiful color anymore. She's a shame. All of Israel knows about it. You know, just shame, 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 shame all over the place. Immediately, it said the spirit that came on the boy, her brother, after he had her, he hated her, so he didn't even want to see her. He told them to kick her out of the house and lock the door. You know, he despised her. Immediately, her other brother, which is her first brother, you know, they from the same mother, you know, hears about it. Absalom goes to kill and plot, you know, with his other brothers to kill his brother because they've, you know, because the daddy wouldn't do anything to, you know, his brother, you know, because of the violation of his sister. And so not only did that happen from that situation, but then Absalom tried to take the kingdom from David to fight him because he thought his daddy was weak. And he was getting older and stuff like that and getting more mellow in his age. And he didn't do anything with Absalom going crazy, taking the kingdom from him. He actually left Jerusalem. I'm telling you, this thing is so serious that God is saying to the church, stop what we're doing and pay attention to details. Take care of each other. Take care of your wife and take care of your own husband. Wives, the Word of God said, listen to your own husband. Don't listen to another man, you know, because you cannot serve two masters. You can't serve two kings. Amen. You have to pay attention to the husband that you have. Even though you know you got your degree, you got your doctoral, you know, in finance, accounting, you're a lawyer, you know you got your juris doctor, you're a judge sitting up there, you're in high places, but you married somebody from high school who's still working in the custodial janitorial field or whatever. He doesn't have all the wisdom that you now, you know, but because he worked hard to get you to where you're at, you're despising his beginnings and where he's at because he doesn't, you know, he just, you know, I've grown apart. No, that's still your husband. No, the two become one. It's like trying to sever, you're cutting yourself in half. It's going to be very painful. I don't care how much accomplishments that you have achieved, young lady, that man is your husband. You need to cater to him and minister to him, and he needs to minister to you. You need to allow him, and you need to listen to what he has to say because he has this other knowledge besides academic knowledge. You know, there's knowledge of hard knocks, the school of hard knocks, and there's lots of wisdom coming from lots of people who never even, you know, went to the fourth grade. A lot of millionaires and billionaires are, you know, still in place, and their family is still wealthy and living off of granddaddy's, you know, knowledge. And he never went to school, not one day of the regular academic world. Amen? So don't try, you know, doing that to your husband. You know, content with that which you have and love one another. Amen. Praise God. I'm getting ready to go to the top of hour and have some music, and we're going to listen to the broadcast, the spin that we did on yesterday, and also the interview with Mr. Thompson, you know, and he is one of the hosts at Blog Talk Radio, and his radio broadcast is called King James a radio network, and I tell you, he is so awesome, and, you know, I tell you, it was just a wonderful, we had a wonderful time, so I pray that you'll, you know, listen to the broadcast, because it has a lot of meaning for you, and I pray that you will, you know, just seek God and ask God for help. If you want to stay in your marriage, if the act of adultery has occurred in your marriage, seek God and ask God to help you to deal with this, you know. And if you can, you know, forgive your wife, you know, wife, forgive your husband, amen. But if and when you do forgive each other, please pay attention to each other. Commit, you know, make a new vow, get remarried again or something, you know. But make a vow to each other that you're going to try to communicate. You're going to try to take care of each other intimately, because that is so much needed, you know. Because that other person is not good for your spouse. They're not. They belong to someone else. You know, they literally belong to someone else. And for whatever reason, they couldn't wait on the Lord, you know, and they try to get into your garden and all of this stuff. I mean, they look and see how good you have it, and they think the grass is greener on the other side. But they really don't know what's happening behind closed door, you know. Amen. Amen. So let me read a few more. I got 3 minutes, a few more scriptures, and then we'll go to music. Amen. And again, thank you for, you know, being here at the broadcast. And, you know, again, we want to pray for Apostle Bishop Dr. Charlene M.B. Abrams as he journeys in his travel. And we just pray that all, you know, is well and that God will keep him from all hurt, harm, and danger, both seen and unseen. And we do want to also make a brief announcement at My Kings TV. God has blessed us to the end of this month, January the 28th through the 1st of February. We'll be doing our film shoot there in New Jersey and New York during the week-long activities of the Super Bowl 48, 2004 Super Bowl. And I pray if you're there, if you want to be interviewed, you know, I'm doing a one-minute free interview for our fans of the Super Bowl, and you have 150 words, 1 minute to, you know, say something, and we're going to be streaming live, but we will re-air and rebroadcast that whole time, you know, there in New York that we do within about 3 weeks to a month. We'll rebroadcast it as well, and I will give the date and time and the websites that you can go to watch it, you know. If you don't have the TV equipment, you know, you can watch it on our website. Amen. That would be, we'll have it on several of our websites. We have so many, but one is www.mykingstv.com. We'll have it loaded so you can see some of the activities. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, let's turn to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 16, and then Ezekiel chapter 23, verse 36. Ezekiel, what does Ezekiel have to say? I tell you, every time I read Ezekiel, I get really scared, because it's a scary book to me. Ezekiel, you know, he'd be seeing things, man. Ezekiel. All right. Ezekiel is right after Jeremiah, Lamentation, you know, and so forth. Ezekiel chapter 7, and I think I missed Jeremiah 7, verse 9. Let me read that real quick. I think I didn't read it. I said I was going to read it, and I didn't. I'll do it to Jeremiah 7, verse 9 first. Going back. I dropped the ball there. Jeremiah 7, verse 9 says, all right, will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not? Small g, you know. God is a jealous God, y'all. We talked about it briefly. Amen. Don't go after other gods. Amen. So turn now to Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 32, and it reads, show me the right one. Yes, but as a wife that committed adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her husband, they give gifts to all whores, but thou givest thy gift to all thy lovers. And hires them that they may come unto thee on every side for thy whoredom. This is a very serious book. If you have a chance to read, you know, read all of it in Ezekiel. It's tough love I'm dealing with today, but please take time to read as you see all the prophets of God are talking about this subject, and it's a matter that was happening in the days of old. But you see how God deals with these acts. He doesn't tolerate it for very long, you know. And you're not getting away with anything, and you're only hurting yourself. You really are. Okay, verse 37. This is Ezekiel 23, verse 37 says, that they have committed adultery, and blood is in their hands, and with their idols have they committed adultery, and have also caused their sons, whom they bear unto me, to pass for them through the fire to devour them. So these people, they're talking about people that are paying money for the act. You know, there's women that pay money for these things, you know, for a man to come into her. And men pay money to women to come into them. But, you know, it all stemmed from, you know, the bed being undefiled and not being taken care of. So we really have to pay attention to our spouse. And you know, if you have to go somewhere, don't go long, you know. Visit whomever you need to visit and come back home quickly, because temptation is always at the door. Satan seeks, as Jesus said to Peter, Satan seeks to destroy him. You know, Satan wants to destroy your marriage. You know, he puts all kind of vice, the same tricks. There's nothing new. There's no new thing under the sun. Amen. Everything that is happening now has happened in the past. So the same tricks that he used with Adam and Eve is the same tricks that he's using on you today. Amen. So please just keep yourself, you know, be vigilant and pray much and pray always. And I'll be praying for you as well, that God will heal your marriage if that this act has occurred, and that you'll forgive one another and move on with each other, amen, and have a tighter bond so that no one could come in to destroy your relationship again. I'll be right back.
Hallelujah to the Lord. Tonight we bring a sacrifice of praise. We lift you high above the earth. Come on, stretch your hands to the Lord tonight. We give you glory and praise. And we marvel in your ways. We lift our hands. We yield our will in the sanctuary. We lift our hands. Oh, that men would praise him for his goodness and his faithfulness to the children of men. I dare you just to stretch yourself out of your will, out of your presence, and just worship. We lift you high. I am on the earth. We lift our hands in the sanctuary. Hallelujah. Oh, we give you glory. As we marvel in your way. In the sanctuary, Father, we bless you. Hallelujah. We lift our hands, everybody. Whenever you lift your hands, it's just a sign of surrender. Can you surrender?
Come on, celebrate him like a company. all of you for being with us. The Holy Ghost has now gave me a small release. Amen. I just thank God for you all today being with us here at the Mike King Service Worldwide Fellowship Network and the Mike King TV. And today we're going to talk about a very traumatic subject that is a plague in our church throughout the world, and it must be addressed. And so, and I have a special guest today, Mr. Thomas from Kingdom Radio Network, and he has been listening to me for quite some time, and I've invited him to come to talk about a subject that he literally wanted us to discuss. And but we're going to begin our broadcast today with prayer, then scripture reading from Psalms 91, and then we'll dive right into the subject of adulterers, and marriage. Amen. Father God, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you, Holy Spirit, and we pray that you'll join us today to lead us and guide us into all truth. We thank you, Lord God, for your presence. You're so awesome, Lord God, and we just bless you for another opportunity to come before your holy throne, Lord God, to give life-giving breath to your people. Lord God, your word says that without you, we are nothing, but with you, we have everything. You are the breath of life for us. Your word, Lord God, is the bread of life for us. And truly, Lord God, we cannot do without your word. And we thank you so much for coming into this place, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. Angels of God, we thank you for the work that you do on God's behalf. And we command now that you go to the north, south, east, and west, to the northeast and the southeast, to the northwest and the southwest, in the name of Jesus Christ, and protect our communication lines so that the word of God will go forward, and so that those that have a ear to hear what is said to the church, hear what thus says the Lord. I just thank you, Lord God, for your presence. Jehovah El Shaddai, we worship you, we bless you, we honor you, and we adore your holy and righteous name. We love you so much. You're just so awesome, Lord God, and, you know, words cannot even begin to tell, and one of the prophets said that if I had a thousand tongues, it was not enough to praise your holy name and to tell the story. But I thank you, Lord God, for this tongue that you give unto me so that I can set forth your word to your people everywhere. And I thank you, Lord God, for our radio broadcasting audience, Lord God, and as well as our television audience, Lord God. I ask, Lord God, that you bless them and bless them indeed as we begin the new year of 2014. And we thank you, Lord God, for this awesome opportunity to bless your people, Lord God, with your word that deals with a very sore subject, Lord God. It's like pouring salt into a wound, but it must be addressed for the healing of the nation. And I just thank you, Lord God, and I pray, Lord God, that you'll rule and super rule on today's broadcast. We pray also for the Holy Spirit to heal and to minister to those that need healing and deliverance from these various diseases and circumstances and situations of lust and causing themselves to be involved in sin in the name of Jesus Christ and separating themselves from you because of it, Lord God. So I just thank you, Lord God, right now. I appreciate you, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, for your precious Son, Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary's cross for our sins, that we can be set free through his precious blood. And by every stripes that he bore to that cross, it was for our sin, Lord God, and our mortal body to be healed, and our soul to be healed, and our minds to be healed, and the peace that passes all understanding to come upon us, Lord God, who keeps our minds stayed on you, Lord God. So we thank you, Lord God, for Jesus Christ, and we thank you, Father, for his precious blood. Thank you also for his obedience to the cross In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we thank you, Lord God. Bless this broadcast. Cover it with the blood of Jesus, Lord God. And I pray that every word that comes out of my mouth, Lord God, will be exceedingly pleasing unto you, Lord God, through the blood of Jesus Christ, that it will go up to you as sweet-sounding savor into your nostril and into your ears, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you'll be glorified in it, Lord God, and that the world will see that it is you, Lord God, that they need. Amen, and glorify you in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, Jehovah El Shaddai. We bless your holy name. Amen and amen. Mother Benson, you can come to this seat so you can have a seat. So you can use this chair here. So we're going to turn now to Psalms 91, and it's the prayer. Just pull the chair out. It's fine. Amen. Hallelujah. He shall call upon me. Let me read verse 14 again. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I'll set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I've read in your hearing Psalms 91 from the King James Version, the Word of God for the people of God. Bless the reading of your holy word. Amen. Praise God. Now, today we're talking about, like I said, a very, very, very serious subject, and it has to be addressed because it is really has infected and plagued our church throughout the world. And, you know, people like to put their head under or in the sand to cover their heads to not to see what is actually going on. But this thing is festering. And it's destroying the church from within. Amen. Because no one can destroy the church unless if we do it ourselves from within. But God is the author and the creator of the church, the body of Christ. And, you know, the situation is so pronounced that God wants to say something about it to his people. And so, therefore, we have to address the issue. So what I'm going to do to begin is I'm going to just go through some scriptures, and then we're going to have a special guest. And if you're interested in coming on the broadcast today, you can call in to the number. The call-in number is 347-539-5669. You can also be in the chat room by going online to blogtalkradio.com/MKSPCG, and you'll be able to go into the chat room and you can ask questions there, and we will answer those questions for you. And also, if you want to speak during the broadcast, you will dial the number 347-539-5669 and then 1, and that will open up your mic so you can speak to the host. Again, I am Archbishop Marcia Karen Smith Abrams, and I just thank God for the opportunity to be a servant to you today. So turn with me first to Leviticus chapter 20. It's okay. Don't have to utter those words, please. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10, reads, and the man that committed adultery with another man's wife, even he that committed adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Amen. God is very serious about this matter. Amen. And what is of old time is still relevant for today. Many people think that what was old is no longer, you know, important. But God's word never fails. God's word never changes. God himself does not change. So therefore, if it's written in the word of God that these things ought to come to pass, it will. And so adultery is plaguing the church today And so it's bringing about death. Divorce is rampant in the church because of adultery, okay? But it's not addressed because people don't want to talk about these things. It's maybe taboo. But if we talk about something, then maybe somebody somewhere will start having counseling sessions to stop those things from happening, because it's a form of lust that caused one to lust after someone else's wife or lust after someone else's husband. Amen. And when people do these things, it, you know, within their own mind, they've already sinned. You know, you don't have to literally do the act, but the very thought that comes into your mind brings about the sin that separates you from God. So it begins from the thought process. Satan loves to work in the mind. And in the mind is where the seed is planted and it germinates until the act, you know, comes to pass. Amen. And some people are swift to do it. Some people are very slow to do it. But it's orchestrated to do it. Amen. And, you know, it is an intimate relationship that will destroy both parties. Amen. And it also affects the family. It affects everybody around. It affects the church. It affects the whole world. You know, they say that what I do in my bedroom does not have anything to do with you. It does. What you do in your bedroom affects the whole world. Amen? All right. So here in Leviticus chapter 20, you see one of the laws that was written. And it says that the man that commits the adultery with another man's wife, even he that commits the adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. So they die not necessarily a physical death, but they die a spiritual death. Adam and Eve, when they disobeyed the word of God, they died immediately. Amen? They died spiritually. They were separated from God immediately. Amen? Now, it was a lot of years that they continued to live, but they really didn't live the life of abundance that they were slated to have in the Garden of Eden. Amen? All right. So the first thing that happened is a spiritual death. Amen? Turn now to another scripture. Like I said, we're going to read a lot of scriptures before we go into our guest speaker that should come on around 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Let's turn to the book of Job. Amen? Job chapter 24, verse 15. All right, and see what Job has to say about this subject. Job chapter 24, verse 15. And I am reading from the King James Version. I'm very comfortable with it. It's the closest book that is written before everything else was translated. So it's the first book that is written in English, and that's what I grew up with, and I love the King James Version. But if you have other versions, it's fine. You can read those that you're comfortable with. Job chapter 24, verse 15 says, "The eye also of the adulterer waits for the twilight, saying, no eye shall see me, and disguise his face." Okay? So there's a concept that what is done in the dark, no one can see. But what is done in the dark shall surely come into the light. Amen? There's nothing that is hidden. There's nothing that is new that's under the sun. So the eyes is the first thing that caused the problem. There's a scripture that says that if your eyes offend you, you know, you need to pluck it out. Amen. But at first a man looks at a woman. Amen. There's an appeal. There's an attraction, you know. Either it's physical. It's always physical first, you know, before anything else happens. Then he has dreams about this woman. Night dreams, night sweats, all kind of good stuff is happening to this man. And vice versa for the woman. The woman have these very passionate arousals that occurs at night. But what we're saying here is that they wait for twilight because people think in their mind that nobody sees it. But remember, the word of God says, if you lay your bed in hell, he's right there. So he sees everything. He's orchestrating everything that Satan Doug and all the imps and stuff like that, they can't do anything without permission from God and authorization. So he knows everything. He knows what your thoughts are. Before you were even created, God knows your thoughts. Amen? So why aren't we talking about the subject? You know, it's a thing that is happening. People are having these adulterous relationships with their eyes. Amen. So once your eyes see this individual, you now start to act on the attraction that comes from the eyes. Amen. Now another scripture that you can read is found in Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah wrote on this subject as well. You'll find that every book in the Bible has something to deal with adultery. Amen? All right, so Isaiah chapter 57, turn with me on that one, verse 3, it says that, "But draw nigh hither, ye sons of the sorcerers, the seed of the adulterer and the whore." Now, it's amazing how they always seem to call the woman the whore or the harlot, okay? They never seem to depict the man of having these particular problems. But there are men that are also whores, okay? They call them Johns and things like that. So we have to understand that this thing plagues the human being, the flesh, okay? And it's something that has to be addressed. It's something that needs to be nipped in the bud so that it can be eliminated. You know, and if it's not addressed, it'll just fester and fester and fester and worse and worse and worse. It will cause men to leave their home, their good home, to go to another woman. It will cause a man to just pack his bag and go. It will cause man to quit his job. I mean, this thing is serious. This sexual immorality is something that is so powerful, amen, that even a commercial have ice cubes that have a sexual attraction in the ice cube, okay, when they want to sell their drinks, okay? The Coca-Cola, all the alcohol have something in the ice cube that have a sexual inspiration, and it's a subliminal message that is sent forward. So that's how powerful this thing is. Amen. And if we don't understand, if we don't talk about it, we'll never be able to arrest it. Amen. And it's something that's so enticing. God made it for us to satisfy the right partner. Okay, this thing that of sexual male, female, is something God created for his glory. Amen. For us to reproduce and also to enjoy one another. But what has happened is that men are looking at the wrong woman and women are looking at the wrong man, and that's when it becomes perverted. And Satan loves that. He loves to stimulate the senses in the wrong way. Amen. All right, so let's turn to another scripture in Psalms 50. I told you I was going to go through the scriptures first because when we study the Word of God, when we talk about the Word of God, it's good to go to the author of the Word of God, God himself. It's his word, it's himself. So I like to look at what God has to say before I have anything to say, because what I have to say is really not important whatsoever. Okay, so Psalm 50, verse 18 says, "When thou sawest a thief, then thou consented with him and had been partaker with adulterers." Okay, so a thief is the same as an adulterer. and I just asked out there. Are you on the line, Mr. Thompson? Are you with me today? God bless you. I'm trying to do the radio as well as record this broadcast on TV at the same time on My King's TV Network. How are you doing today? Happy New Year.
Yes, Happy New Year to you as well. I'm fine, thank you.
Amen. I hope you were listening. I know you had your own broadcast there at on Blog Talk Radio, Kingdom. I saw Kingdom Radio Network, live, with the baseball players or was the basketball players versus Monroe?
Yes, basketball. Yes, I do some local high school basketball here in the area, so we were doing a live broadcast of the game, and so yeah, and the players were very good. They were very good. They were very good.
Amen. So what we're talking about is, adultery in the church and adulteress and all these things and what it leads to and how many people get hurt and how many people walk away from beautiful relationships for another man or another woman. And what is your spin on it?
Well, luckily for me, I've never had to deal with it firsthand. But, I've had a close call where I put this in my audiobook that I put out not too long ago, but there was a situation where I was approached by someone. It was supposed to be a business conversation, and it turned into a little bit more than that. But, for me, to tell you the truth, if it wasn't for God himself, who knows where that would have went. Luckily, one of the few times in my life I had the common sense to just say no. And so it can be very, alluring, very tempting. It's flattering when someone else is interested in you, when your significant other at home may not give you, whatever you think you want or what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you get that attention from someone else, it's like I said, it's attractive and it's tempting. But like I said, if it wasn't for God and the fact that I respected him enough to realize that, I made a promise to him that this was going to be it for me once I got married. And so I needed to keep my promise to him.
Mm.
And so that's pretty much the long and short of it.
Yeah, wow. That is tight. If you're strong enough to get that engagement and it can bring you to your knees, from what I understand.
Yes, and there's all kinds of things out there, and not just like right in front of you. Of course, with the internet, there's all kinds of videos and different things that that you can end up delving in. And I've had my own struggles with different things, but like I said, at the end of the day. If you can ask God to get you through it and get you to the other side, Joyce Meyer says you got to go through it and get through.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it ends up being that way, whether you like it or not.
Right. I was just looking at the scripture because the scripture is so appropriate with everything. I mean, even for right now, in our dispensation. But Ezekiel chapter 24, verse 45 reads, and it says that the righteous man, or men, so you have a lot of good men out there, they shall judge them after the manner of the adulteresses and after the manner of women that shed blood. Because they are adulteresses and blood is in their hand. They literally come to hurt you, It's just amazing, and they do these things and they make money with it, lots of money.
Oh, yes, I'm sure you're aware that, there's lots of different ways to make money, and that's certainly one of them is that other side of the fence, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I've had my own issues in the past with pornography and different things. Luckily, God is he's not finished with me yet. But luckily, like I said, for the most part, I've been able to get out of that.
Amen. I was listening to a gentleman. He was being interviewed on a television broadcast, and he formulated a social network for, get this, Christian men that are married and Christian women that are married to mingle together. I was like, oh my goodness. So he has an audience, you know? I mean, and they were offended with the very fact that he did this, but he said that they're using my system, so, you know, it's not me. I'm just catering to the need that is out there, the niche. You know, I thought that was like, wow. So there are married men that are seeking women that are married, and married women that are seeking men that are married, and they know that each other are married, and they're, you know, calling. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's not easy, you know, when my situation is, I mean, everybody's situation is different, but for in my situation, I can only speak for me, it's certainly not easy. The last, you know, 3-4 years, you know, certainly been some peaks and valleys, and it causes your mind to wander a little bit, but, you know, you try to stay focused, you know, and as it says, you know, as the Bible says, that, you know, this one thing that I do, you try to stay focused on, you know, like I said, what God is asking of you.
Amen. Amen. And it's very hard, like you said, you know, marriage is work. And I had another, see, all my subject that I talk about, someone comes and asks for prayer. And I said, well, if one person is asking for prayer in a specific area, that means the whole nation is feeling it. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, we're our brother's keepers. And we're made from the same thread, God himself, you know? So the issue that I talked about, I mean, you said that you started listening to the broadcast because of it, and I thank you. I didn't know that I made an impact. I mean, there were thousands of people on the line, but you know, when you don't get any comments back or feedback, you don't know. But it was about a married woman that did not have sexual intercourse with her husband. And the gentleman was so upset, and he wanted a divorce, and he does, you know, in many states in the United States, if a woman do not give her body to the husband, that's a right for divorce. I mean, you know, he can just say, nothing's happening, no consummation, hey, you know, I got to go. And it's a legal binding thing. They can separate and be divorced, you know. So I talked about it. I said, your body is not, it does not belong to you. You know, when you become married, not only did you sign a legal binding contract in heaven and in earth, and people on earth recognize that agreement, you also agree with one another to take care of each other's needs. And so your body, woman's body no longer belongs to the woman, it belongs to the man, and the man's body now belongs to the woman. And the bed is not... it's undefiled. It's not, you know, it's not violated at all. You know, even if the woman had some trauma in her past, you know, she might have been raped or incest or something like that. But nevertheless, you know, in a joint relationship with a husband, and you can't deny that man because you're having issues in your mind about, you know, a past thing that happened to you. You know, it's just not real. It's not. I was just very upset with that, and I tried to pray real calm, but it was. It was not a calm prayer.
Well, yes, I certainly understand that side of it. Like I said, there's been different points in my marriage where I've gone through that. And you want, and as the husband, you want to, especially as a Christian husband, you take your Bible and just fall it in your face and say, here, see, this is what it says right here.
Mm-hmm.
That can only turn a bad situation worse. You know, you don't necessarily, you know, like I said, want to flaunt it in someone's face. You seek God for direction and guidance, and you try to see how He wants you to handle it. But you certainly have to use wisdom in that situation and figure out what to do.
Wow. Well, I mean, what wisdom do you do? I mean, what do you do? I mean, you had that the wisdom is she's supposed to give it up. You know what I mean? You know what wisdom are you talking about?
Unfortunately, God doesn't talk to both of us in the same way. In
Right.
You know, because they're hearing it from you.
Right.
Whereas opposed to, you know, they hear it either directly from God or God sends someone to them, it may come out, you know, come across better.
Right. And I think this platform that God has given here to talk about it in a Christian, God-fearing way, but to talk about the issue that is affecting people in the church. I mean, we're not talking about the unsaved and the people that don't know God. We're talking about the people in the body of Christ that are affected by this this lack of love, you know? Because if the bedroom is not being taken care of, the man or the woman is going to go outside of the bedroom, outside of the door, out to someone else to find that which they're lacking at home, you know?
Yes, I know people, but I know of a person that is in that situation where, you know, he felt like he wasn't getting what he needed and he had to go outside his marriage. And so it affects people differently. Like, I guess I'm a paying person. Sometimes I'm patient to a fault. So, I'll sit there and say, okay, I see what you're doing. I'll play your game, you know. But then some men aren't that understanding.
Exactly.
And so, you know, they'll go resort to other means.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess my only real advice for women, for your Christian wives would be, if you think that holding out on your husband is going to get you what you want, it's not.
No, it's not. You're right.
That would be my biggest piece of advice.
It's true. That is a true statement because, and I'm glad you're saying it instead of me because, you know, if you want anything from your husband, you give him sex. I mean, it is what it is. Any way he wants it. You know, I mean, just give it to him because he's going to find somebody else who will do it the way he wants it, even if he has to even pay for it. Isn't that sad?
Yeah, you know, when you make a promise to God and for whatever reason, you know, you go outside of that promise, so it's not a good thing. And so, you know, like I said, when you, for wives, and I understand that the husband may not be, you know, the most righteous 100% of the time and all of that, but the point being is that if you want your husband to do X, Y, and Z, you're certainly not going to get that by withholding yourself and you know, trying to teach him a lesson.
Right, exactly. And there's a lot of women that do that. I've heard them say it over and over to me, and I'm like, no, you don't do that. You give him what he desires, and you'll get the world from that man. You know, I mean, even if he doesn't have a job, he'll do everything legally to satisfy his wife.
Men will do some ridiculous things for sex. They got it. So, believe me, you're right in that regard.
I wish the world would hear this, and then the church, the leaders in the church will actually teach it, because the Word of God said that my people die because of lack of knowledge, and the older women are not teaching the younger women so that they'll know how to take care of their husband, and then you know, if they don't have teaching, you know, the pastors are not feeding the children, the sheep, you know, they're not giving what God wants them to give to the children so the children can do right. And it all leads to the same conclusion, a love, you know, and you know, why people want to be married so bad, you know, you always hear single people talk about they want to get married. Well, when you get married, when you get that man or when you get that woman, are you going to take care of each other's intimate needs? Because that's what's going to keep you. God's going to keep you, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, the blood, all of that. You have to have the intimate relationship with one another, you know?
Yes, and you know, for a single, I do this on Facebook, I talk to some of the young single guys that I know, and I tell them, I said, you know, listen, you know, if you want to get married, make sure that, you know, that you're right, that number one, you're right with God, and number two, you're right with yourself.
Yes.
Because if you don't you know, if you're not the man that you want to be when you get married, you're not going to be the man that she wants you to be either. So, it goes both ways. You know, it goes both ways for the men too. And so, you know, I don't want to, you know, say put it all on women, but it's certainly a two-way street.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, no, but see, everything is always put on women. I'm sorry to say it, but it's the truth. We have so many hats that we have to wear. Women are the nurturers of a relationship, of that home. The woman rocks the cradle. The woman is responsible for so much things you would not believe. All Adam had to do was name the animals, you know what I mean? But a woman had to take care of the home. You know, she had to, you know, when he brought home the bacon or whatever, you know, the animals could cook or whatever. She had to clean it, fix it up, and make sure everybody was satisfied with the meal, and, you know, make sure home was right. And, you know, and then after doing all of that, she still had to look well and then still be sexy for him at night, you know, or anytime he shows up, you know, with his needs. The women are very much in charge of that house, you know. You can't say it's not all on women. It is all on women. You know, men don't have really that much responsibility. I'm a woman. I'm talking about all the hats that I have to wear.
Feels responsible for different things, but in terms of women, you know, abstaining from their husbands, you know, it's not, obviously, like you said, it's not the ideal, it's not something you want to practice, and it can only cause more discord than what's already there. I always say that in any marriage, when it becomes division like that, there's always warning signs. Like, if you just to draw an analogy, like you know the black box on the airplane, before the crash, that black box that records everything that goes on, and you can detect that there's something wrong before the plane crashes. So with a marriage, there's that little black box, that imaginary black box, that tells you that there's something wrong here before you reach that point of disaster.
Yes. There's always signs, but and you're right. The more a person withhold themselves, you know, it just festers in that man's mind that something else is going on, or he's inadequate for her, or she must be doing something outside of him, and you know, questions comes up. I'm serious. It really caused. This is a powerful weapon that women use against men. You know, but see, it caused that man, I'm telling you, to leave the home. It does, every single time. You know, in secret, in undercover, dark, whatever, he's going to go and get that which will satisfy him. So it's best for her to, you know, give into the needs of her husband so that she can get everything that she needs within that household. And so that she won't have need for spoil either, you know? Because if he steps out, she's going to start stepping out, making phone calls, texting, chat rooms, you know, many, many things, you know?
Well, you're right in that, you know, when once that man or that woman steps outside, and then all bets are off, then the other person feels, you know, two can play that game.
Yes.
And so, you know, and they will say two wrongs don't make it right, but that's
right.
What happened.
Yes.
And so, I agree with you.
Amen. It's a powerful subject, and I pray that more and more churches will address the issue in the open and not behind closed doors and stuff, because these secret sins are happening in the church, because the divorce rate is so phenomenal. It's scary. It's over 50% in the church. Marriages are gone debunk, you know? They're not holding the commitment any longer, you know?
Yeah, you know, of course, the divorce rates are going up, and I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. I've certainly walked the plank a few times as far as, you know, there's times where I've Integrating two personalities into one.
Oh my goodness. Yes.
To integrate your integrate all of that in with another person and their goals and their hopes and their dreams, and to try to make it work on a day-in, day-out basis is very difficult.
Yeah.
And so you really have to, like I said, for me, you really have to be patient and work with that person to try to get it right.
Mm. Yeah. It is very, very, and you know, you have, when you can go really spiritually and deep about it, sometimes people have had sexual intercourse with other people prior to that marriage. So they bring all that baggage into, and this is supernatural and spiritual, but it's actually a fact. They literally have to divorce all those men or all those women that they came into that marriage with prior to marrying. Because you have all these different spirits that is now convoluting this two people. And you're like, what is going on? You know, what's going on? You know what I'm saying? If you ever notice someone divorced someone, okay? If you notice the person that they marry is just like the other person they just divorced. It's like or it's just like their mama. Or, you know what I'm saying? It's like the same spirit is in that next person, but it's a different head and different looks, but it's the same nature. It's true. So you literally have to divorce all of those things first before you can even start talking.
Yeah, like you said, it creates that baggage that you bring with you.
Yes.
And so then you have to work almost twice as hard, not only to get through your own stuff, but then you have to work through other people's stuff, you know, just to get through it all.
And then you have the family issues. I got this call about this woman told this man on New Year's night that I don't no longer want to be with you, you know, because my family says that I shouldn't be with you. I'm like, what? You know, so you have the family issues too. If the family don't like the other person, the other party, they can destroy the marriage, you know?
So that's
heavy too.
Yeah, I mean, now you're talking about external factors, and so it's hard enough to work it out between the two of you, but then when you start bringing your family members into it, then, it becomes much more difficult.
Right. I have a scripture that I want to touch on, and I like to hit on the scripture when it applies, but this thing, I think this seems applicable. It says in Hosea chapter 2, verse 2, it says, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife. You see, the word of God says that. And neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredom out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts. Now, see, this is like, you know, how does adultery relate with that? Well, it does relate because here, some mothers have so much control over their sons, they literally have an intimate relationship with their sons without being incest. It is so much close to it, though. You see what I'm saying? So the Bible even talks about that, because now when he sees a woman that he wants to marry, here's the mother all up in their mess and just in the bed with them, you know, and never letting them be, you know, and then she now causes a divorce between them. And that's what I was talking about in the phone call I got on this New Year's. This relationship was broken because of the family. Adultery comes in so many forms, but I think you can try it. For 30 days, this is my formula for success.
Amen. We're going to take a break. I see that we have King James Radio Network that came back in on the line. Amen. But if you want to hear the rest of the broadcast, you can listen to it, on Blog Talk Radio. And the date that it was a broadcast was on Saturday, January the 4th. Amen. And 2014, you know, there is a secret to success. There's seven secrets to a successful marriage. Seven secrets, that if a woman learns these secrets, they actually will have the love of their life forever. And the man will never, ever want to leave, you know what I'm saying, or go anywhere. There's seven secrets, and I shared one of them on the broadcast. So if you can turn into it, or I may, you know, after a few sounds tonight, I may, plug back into the Blog Talk Radio to so you can hear the first secret of success in a marriage relationship, and that also will help you not to have, help your marriage not to have anything that even come close to adultery, because the man will be just thinking solely about you, and you'll be thinking solely about your husband, because it's just, you know, it germinates, you know, 3 days out, you know, it's still going, you're still thinking of all the romantic, you know, everything that happened during that one day. So it's a 30-day, revelation. Amen. But we're going to quickly take a quick break, and then I'll be back, and if I can bring and call up the end of the broadcast with Mr. Thompson, we really want you to tune back in and listen to it. It was very powerful, and that's why we're rebroadcasting it, so everyone can get the clarity of the entire program. And I pray for your marriage, and I pray for the healing. If you have experienced any type of situation that deals with adultery, please try your best to forgive your husband. I talk to many, many, many people, and I tell you, a lot of marriage was saved because they came and they confided in me, and, you know, and I told them just to forgive that one, you know, forgive him, because when you decide not to marry or be married anymore, the Bible asks you, it tells you that you aren't to marry again, you know, if that man is still alive or if that woman is still alive. It's truly until death do you part, you know. So if you, you know, if you want to live a celibate life or a life by yourself, and you know, if you want to live a holy life, you know, the Word of God says that you have to really just be, alone. I mean, you know, you can't get involved in that area, in that arena. So it's really easier to forgive the spouse that has done wrong, and forgive the person who offended the husband, you know, because, you know, if you don't forgive, you'll have malice and bitterness and anger, and all those are sin in and of themselves, and they also are spirits, and they cause other things to occur, you know. And life is too short, you know. We're only promised really 120 years, and I think it went down to 70 years and so forth, you know. But life is short, and, you know, you want to give your all to your spouse and give your all to yourself. You know, you want to be happy. So forgive that spouse and move on, you know, and talk, communicate, and don't let anyone try to destroy your marriage. Don't let you try to destroy your marriage. Don't let her, you know, try to destroy your marriage, or anyone outside of you, whether it be your children, kinsmen, friends, co-workers, colleagues, I mean, buddies from high school. Don't let anyone get in between you and your spouse, because you have such a beautiful, beautiful thing that God has blessed you to have, you know. And many, many men and many, many women want to be married, and they never find that mate. But there is a mate for them, but for whatever reason, that mate may be tied up with some other mate, you know, and because they couldn't wait, you know. So, and then there's other perversions that are going on because of this adulterous thing, you know. I mean, it affects other people. They don't know who they are, if they're male or female, and, you know, let me get into this type of relationship, which is a total different subject for another day. But I'm going to take a break, and I'll be right back. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to the My King Service Worldwide Fellowship Network. And again, we have been talking about a very, very serious matter that is plaguing our society, not only the church, but our society is affected by this. And I pray that those that are in leadership do take the time to, you know, it's a very delicate matter to talk about, and I'm grateful that God has given me Holy Ghost boldness, because only with the Spirit and the unction of God can you address specific topics and so forth, you know. It's not an easy thing. I was talking to one minister the other day, and he was sharing with me about another minister who takes 3 weeks to prepare a sermon, you know. And I said, well, the pastor don't have an intimate relationship with God, because, you know, every day brings about, you know, a new revelation, you know. And 3 weeks to prepare a 20-minute sermon is, you know, come on now. You know, so You know, some people cannot speak on certain issues, and they are in leadership position. So please, you know, forgive them for not being prepared, you know, for the trauma that you're going through. But many, many are the counseling sessions, you know, behind closed doors. Pastors are constantly talking about these issues with husbands and wives, and or the wives are calling the pastors, or you know, or, you know, if it's a female pastor that's in charge of the house of God, you know, the men are calling on that pastor for ministry, you know, counseling and a lot of counseling sessions. I mean, it is really a serious thing that needs to be addressed openly because, see, Satan can always, you know, something can always grow and fester. You know, mold will grow in the dark and where things are, you know, warm and wet and comfortable. But when it's exposed to the light of God, and we, the children of God, are the light of this world. And when we expose a situation, we literally can eradicate that mold. Amen? And with water, wash it away, amen, the water that comes through the blood of Jesus Christ, amen. So we can literally arrest this problem, you know, and put Satan at bay and all his demons and imps that are plaguing, all these spirits. These are spirits that attach themselves to couples, and they got to realize that they have to cast and bind and rebuke these spirits off of them, you know. Jesus Christ, when Satan came to talk to him and to tempt him after he was very weak. He never comes when you're strong, but he was very weak. He had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He went out all by himself, you know, and so forth. And Satan came when he knew he was at his weakest moment. Amen. And he started showing him all the wonders and all the kingdoms which he had in control, because why did Satan have that? Well, Adam gave it to him, and he showed him all the kingdoms of this world. Amen? And he offered these things to God himself, Jesus Christ. Ain't that something? The creator of the world and all of these things, Satan, with the gall that he had, was given God an option to, you know, let me give this to you. He, which he didn't create anything, but he had dominion. He had the right because Adam had given that over to him. You understand? This thing is really deep. You've got to understand Satan was in his legal rights to say those things to Jesus Christ. But that's why Jesus had to die to take back all that Satan had stolen, you know, from you and I, you know, Adam and Eve and so forth, and bring us back to right standing with God. So this thing is so serious, and what I'm saying is to eradicate adultery, it can be done, you know, from the face of this earth. I'm talking about every nation, even nations coming together and talk about it, you know, about this situation, you know, because it's so severe that it affects everyone, you know, and decisions, you know, the government, it goes all the way to the government, you know. What happens in the bedroom goes all the way to the government, and the governments are now making laws, the Supreme Court are making laws. Come on, trust me, it affects everyone, all right? So I'm praying for each and every one that has been listening to this broadcast, and I'm praying that you have an ear to hear what the Holy Spirit, what the Spirit is saying to the church, you know, and as God speaks to the church through his word, and the leaders that are in position, even if you yourself are in an adulterous relationship yourself, leader, you need to repent of that sin and then clean yourself up through the blood of Jesus Christ. Ask God to forgive you of that. Repent to your wife or your, you know, if you're the female involved in with a man in your church and organization, you need to repent and let that man go, because that man does not belong to you. And then kneel before the holy throne of God to ask for forgiveness so that you can now be whole and restored. And then, you know, if you don't step down, because literally you shouldn't even be in a position of leadership if you're committing such a sin, but, you know, if you still want to stay there and do your job, what God has called you to do, You need to start telling people about this, because if you were infected by it and you got tempted and you yielded to sin and you got involved with that, members of your church, because the spirit that's upon you as the head flows down to the, you know, it's like Aaron, when the oil, you know, flows from Aaron's head all the way down Aaron's beard, all the way down to his toes, what spirit is upon you, leader of the church, is also affects and plague the church. So if you're involved in sexual immoralities within the church body and you're the head of that house, they said the angels of that house, you are causing the church to sin as well. You have to give an account for this. So you need to repent as quickly as you can, you know, because you never know the hour or the day when God is coming back for you, you know, because he'll send the death angel to your door to knock. You never know your hour, and time is of the essence, and this thing is so important to address and to eradicate from the body of Christ. It is worse than cancer. It is worse than cancer. It's worse than any plague that was, you know, that destroyed Egypt, to set the children free. You understand? So I'm asking you, please, with all due respect for your rank and position, praise God you're there, but humble yourself before the throne of God. And if you want to call me, you can call me anytime, you know. And, you know, we have 800 number, 877-707-7747. Call and, you know, I will talk with you and we'll pray with you and pray for you to be healed. Because you have to be healed, because Satan has been sending darts all over you trying to destroy you. Why? Because you have the Word of God in you, and something so important for the body, amen, the body of Christ, to be healed through you. So you had to go through that. You know, God allows things to happen to his children as well, you know, for his great pleasure, of course, right? All things is according to God's perfect will and perfect, but some experiences you don't really have to go through. But when that situation occurred in your life, it's because God has put you there, and Satan knows how important you are, how vital you are to the kingdom of God, and he's trying to do everything. He sends forth every vice to destroy you, and the spirit of adultery is a vice that he used, is a tool that he used all the time. Even the federal government, in the you know, I served in the federal government, you know, and for 25 years. But one of the main tricks of the trade that they do to destroy anyone, amen, they send spies in or whatever. It's only three, and they call it SAM. Okay, and the first primary one is sex, and then, you know, money and alcohol. Those three are the only targets that they'll use to destroy anyone. And any job, your career would be assassinated. You'll see all the time all the people going up for election, and the first thing that every, you know, the other party uses, you know, is, you know, remember somebody, remember what he did 10, 20, 30, 40 years. Now the man like 60 years old. Come in, give me a break. What he did when he's 20 has to do 40 years later, but they'll use that. They'll dig that sexual sin up every time. And these are people that are not thinking about God whatsoever. It's just all politics. You understand? So they'll always use that. The other tool is you know, alcohol and you know, drugs and things that will not make you think right or think strange, and you know, you're tippling, toppling all over the place, you know, you're just not in your right mind. Any drugs that will seduce you. And usually those drugs are plants and stuff, things from the earth. Satan is always using the things of God to destroy God's children. You got to understand who you are in this. It's a fight, and you got to win this thing. And this adultery is the main thing to destroy nations from within. And so if the church is not taking hold of this and addressing the problem, then how can the world, you know, get along? Because we are the light of the world. You know, we are the city, you know, that is set upon, you know, this dark, dark, dark gross darkness. And I'm telling you, people are in gross darkness. The situations are going to get tighter and tighter and harder and harder as the times get closer and closer for the coming of the Lord. But all these things have got to come to pass. But it also said that the children of God are going to come back. You know, it says so in the Word. So these type of subject has got to be talked about. The leaders have to talk about it out in the open and expose the devil. And then you can then destroy, you know, it's not your job to destroy the devil because he's lost the battle anyway. You know, he doesn't win, but he sure brings about a whole bunch of problems in the midst of the time that he's here, you know, loose, you know. But I'm telling you, this has got to be talked about. So please, please share this broadcast with all your friends, colleagues, coworker. Laugh about it, joke about it, but talk about it. Bring it out into the open. Expose it. It may be happening on your job, you know. Expose that and tell them don't do that because you're affecting our office, you know. I'm serious. Here come a nice, I'm telling you, one of my jobs that I had, there was, you know, an older man, and he hired this young, beautiful young lady to come. But there was other women that was already in the office prior to this young, beautiful woman coming in. Well, all she did was targeted that older man with her beauty, and she used the first S, the first one. And she ended up, you know, getting engaged with this older man that everybody loved, and then the whole office was just oh my goodness, it was just upset in the camp. You know, how dare that she did that? She got promoted so fast above everybody else, you know? Oh my goodness. You know, so it's something that works. It's a trick of the devil, you know? But that fornication, and he was a married man, that broke up his home. You know, he no longer was married. His wife that, you know, groomed him, you know, through his career to bring him to the top, to the pinnacle of success. Here comes this little woman that comes in and just destroyed that marriage from one act. She turned around and married the man, have a child by him. He's all locked up, tied up, tangled up. But now he's now in an adulterous relationship, even though they got married, because his wife, his first wife, is still alive. You know what I'm saying? So God's word is true. God's word is for our good success. God's word is for the healing of your heart. It's for the healing of your body, your soul, your spirit, your mind. It's the healing of the nation. Because of this adulterous situation, it can make you sick to your gut, to your soul. It can destroy all the molecules within your body, causing other molecules to crystallize and form other pain and anguish and, you know, heart disease, all kind of ailments. I'm saying, you know, high blood pressure, hypertension, everything else, because of the longing and the loneliness and the lack of love and all that. This, you know, I'm telling you, this is it. It can cause disease to the point of cancer in a body, to destroy. Satan's job and only job is not to allow you to see the glory of God where he once was. He already saw the glory of God. He was with God. He was God's right hand. He stood over God with his wings, and he covered over God, the throne of God. He spoke with God on a daily, on a regular. Amen. He caused the angels to sing and give God praise. He was the most beautiful and the greatest cherubim that ever was created. You got to understand who you're fighting against. You know, you can't fight him, so use the blood of Jesus. Whenever you're tempted and you think and you see a beautiful woman and your eyes are about to wander and you want to lust after that, you know, quickly talk to your wife. Quickly say a prayer, or just say Jesus, or the blood of Jesus is even better, you know, and say, Satan, you know, get thee behind me, you know. That's what Jesus had to say to Satan. I mean, he tempted him so much, you know. He was weak. I'm telling you, Jesus was in the flesh, God himself. He experienced what you're experiencing. He experienced the temptations. He experienced everything that you're experiencing in your mortal body, yet he resisted and sinned not. So we can resist the devil. And if we resist, he'll flee from us. Trust me, only for a season, he'll send somebody else, okay? He'll send another thing, okay? He only have a few tricks up his sleeves, okay? The same strategy he used over and over to destroy the children of God. Amen. So I'm telling you, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for myself. Pray for me and my marriage as well. Because trust me, when we start dealing with an issue, you know, that is very important to the children of God, for them to be healed and restored, and souls are now saved, and nobody is committing sexual immoralities and sex acts. Satan can't use that trick anymore because we got it. It's all exposed. We know what's up, and we're not going to go there in Jesus' name. We're going to stay strong until God sends our own elect soulmate to us. Of course, an attack is going to come supernaturally, spiritually, against my marriage. I know that already. But so I give my marriage up to God right now through the blood of Jesus Christ and the holy angels of God that surrounds the righteous me. I am one of the righteous ones here on earth. They encamp around my husband and protect him. And any demon from hell, we bind and rebuke them and send them back to the pit of hell where they came from in the name of Jesus Christ. We ain't talking playing games here, because Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy you and yours and your children and your children's children. And if he can't get you and your children, your children's children, he goes all the way out to your extended family, and he tries to destroy you. Amen. But he can't kill you. Amen. That's one thing God said when he even showed Job to Satan. You know, see my servant, you know. Amen. He will not sin against me. Amen. And God is saying that to you right now. He knows that you might have been caught and caught up in that. You know, once you repent, Jesus Christ is going to cover you with the blood and so forth. You are new. You have a new beginnings. Amen. You're white as snow. Amen. Don't let the devil come back and tempt you, because he's going to come back with seven times more hotter demons to plague you, you know. But just fill yourself with the power of the Holy Ghost. Call on the Holy Ghost to come into you, the Holy Spirit to fill that need, that void that came, you know, because when that thing is extracted from you, there's a gulf, there's a hole that has to be filled. So fill it quickly with the Holy Spirit, and then quickly repent and talk to your spouse and quickly get that thing squared away. So now tell the spouse, let's go to counseling, because we need each other. I need you and you need me, and we can't do this without each other. You know, we got to try and get along here. I'm telling you, Satan is going to use every device to try and upset the marriage and try to, you know, attack myself and my marriage and my husband and stuff like that. You know, trust me, because there's a very, very beautiful woman approach my husband all the time, talking to him about their problem with this very same area. And some are seductors, you know, some are vipers, seriously, in the household of faith, you know. But we have to be strong and be strong in the Lord and be of good courage and all of that other good stuff. Amen. So again, I thank you all for your prayers as you pray for myself and as you pray for my husband. Amen. Amen. And pray for those that are hurting. And if, you know, there are people that don't know how to talk about this subject, you know, but if you know they are experiencing this particular problem, please, please let them, you know, bring them to the elder of the church that is able to talk about it. Some counselors that are licensed and have the degrees to in a godly way. You know, there's counselors that are in the secular world, but they still don't understand, you know, the Word of God. You understand? They apply their knowledge differently. You understand what I'm saying? They would say, oh, it's okay to go ahead and sleep with someone else. It's not. The Word of God said, no, that is a sin. Don't do that. You know, just stay in your lane. Stay in your marriage. And if you cannot stay with your marriage, then separate, do a bill of divorce, and you're authorized to do that as well, you know. But then stay single, You understand? And stay with the Lord and so forth. So work that situation out. And I was trying to bring back the broadcast from last night, but it was just playing commercials. So, but anyway, I thank you for tuning in to tonight's broadcast. I hope it was enlightening to you and for you. And I pray that you are healed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And let me pray right now for those that are experiencing this situation, and I know they're saying within themselves, you know, I am hurting so bad. It is so much great pain. There's no way I can forgive that man that has done this. There's such great pain. She don't know what I'm going through. I do. I really do. I understand, you know, because God has given me a spirit of discernment to understand that. You know, I didn't have that specific type of situation happen to me in any of my marriages. I had very faithful husbands, you know. I've been married three times, different situations that caused those things, you know. But nevertheless, I'm saying to you that God understands those that are experiencing the adulterous relationship that has occurred and is hurting you. God knows that you're hurting, and I'm asking you to forgive. You know, Jesus Christ said, you know, you can ask anything, you know, but at the end of the day, you need to forgive so that he can pray to the Heavenly Father to forgive you of your own trespasses. Remember, it's a two-way street. Yes, he did something wrong, but you did something wrong as well. It takes two to tango here. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father God, I thank you once again for tonight. Again, we thank you, Lord God, for our listening audience and those that will hear this broadcast in the future, Lord God, by email, or those that download it and send it forward, or some minister will hear it and he will begin to really study this subject and teach it and preach it and help his own congregation to be healed. Amen. I thank you, Lord God, for healing your people, Lord God. Your children need it. You told me, Lord God, if I love you, that I should feed your sheep. And so since I do love you, I'm going to feed your sheep, Lord God. Hallelujah. And you asked, Jesus Christ asked Peter several times, do you love me? And Peter was so upset because Jesus Christ, you kept on asking him over and over, do you love me? And at the end of the day, he said, feed my sheep. So this is a subject that has to be addressed and taught. And so I thank you, Lord God, for opening up this opportunity to speak about adultery, adulterers, adulteresses, and marriage, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord God, for the church that listened to the voice of God and to the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit, I thank you for coming into this place and comforting those that are hurting right now in the name of Jesus, those that are crying because it hurts so bad. Lord God, I thank you for healing them and giving them that peace and that rest. You know, they have not lost their spouse, but they can claim and regain their territories. They just have to take it back by force and by storm. Forgive first and pray for their spouse and start to communicate one with another and start having intimate relationship with each other and communing and talking and letting the spouse know what you need and address that need immediately so that no one will have room or need for spoil in the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord God, for the children, Lord God, the children that are experiencing the drama between the mother and the father, I pray for them to be healed as well, because they are the one that get the greatest impact of this, the breakup, the divorce, the adulterous relationship. They are the one that feels all of it because they see all of it, because people think that children don't understand and can't see, you know, but they see. They're so wise now. They're wiser than we were when we were children, because you said in your word that they'll wax wiser and wiser as the world get eviler and eviler. So I pray for the children, Father, Lord God. I pray for them, Lord God. Hallelujah, that someone somewhere will begin to teach the children about these issues now so that they won't get caught up in it, because Lord God, sincerely, the children of today are experiencing it at a younger age, Lord God, 8 years old, 10 years old, are being raped and incest and all kind of things are happening. They really don't even have a clue what's happening to their bodies, Lord God. You know, and so many other things are happening. People are selling people into sex slaves and all these things, boys and girls. Father, this thing is gone rampant, Father. So I pray for the healing of this nation, and I pray, Lord God, that we will hear what you are saying, Lord God, and act accordingly, Lord God, in obedience to your holy words, Father. I thank you, Lord God, for healing that woman right now, Lord God. That husband has just left her in the name of Jesus over the holiday season, Lord God. I pray for the pastor whose wife just left him for another man. I pray for her, the decision she made, and I pray for him who's hurting because he truly loved his wife. But he was ministering and taking so much care of the church and the body of Christ that he never took care of the wife and she left. Oh, Father, we ask for forgiveness of both of those situations, Lord God. And if we ask for forgiveness for the man who entreated the wife also, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for healing that church because the church is now affected because of the separation between the pastor and his wife. I ask, Lord God, that you forgive them, Lord God. Hallelujah, that she will repent, you know, from her New Year's resolution of no longer wanting to be with her husband and return to her first love. I pray, Lord God, that that will happen, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for hearing these and many other cries as people are crying right now, and I can feel it. I can feel the weight. People are crying and they're hurting. Father, but I know, Lord God, that you heal every wound, Lord God, that the enemy has cast and every arrow that was sent to destroy your children, you know. But you said if they send one arrow, Lord God, that you're going to turn that arrow back seven times to those that send it in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord God, for healing these your people, these your children, Father. And I thank you, Lord God, for your word, Father, because your word is truly life. Is powerful, and I thank you, Lord God. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Again, you've been listening to the Word of God through my mouth, and I am Archbishop Marcia Karen Abrams, and you also listened to some extractions from Mr. Thompson from King James Radio Network, and we thank him for coming on to the broadcast, and it was just a fabulous broadcast on yesterday, and I thank you for your attention to details today. Continue to pray for my husband as he's on the road, and we pray for his speedily return back home, you know, to me. Amen. In Jesus' name, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you all. We love you. We love you so much. You're just so, I mean, awesome, and I pray that you continually have a wonderful new year. Again, we will be broadcasting live at the Super Bowl on January the 28th through the 29th. We will be up there filming the 30th, 31st, and the 1st of February. Having a good old time, you know, with the fans and you know, all the week, the activities there at Super Bowl Boulevard from 44th to 44th Street, Times Square, all of that, you know, and autographs, you know, we're going to, you know, there's so much activities that are going to happen, and I'm so excited that we can be there representing and, you know, doing films of the fans, you know, so if you see me, you know, with the Mike Kings TV sign or hat or logo, or, you know, I know it's supposed to be cold there. I'm praying for warm weather, but you know, just come on over and, you know, get yourself, you know, give us your opinion about you know, the Super Bowl, who you think who's going to win the 48th Super Bowl, game, amen, on February the 2nd, and then you tune in, you know, and you go back home, or if you're able to be in the stands, you know, just enjoy, because I am really grateful to the NFL for allowing me to participate and to be there with all the big guys and big gals in the industry. We're just a baby. We haven't even broken a tooth yet, but I thank God for favor. Amen. Praise God. Well, God bless you all. I've enjoyed tonight's broadcast, and I hope you have too, and I hope you learned something from it. In Jesus' name, I'm going to sign out now. God bless you. God bless you. And we'll see you on Tuesday night. I will be back on Tuesday night broadcasting live. I think I'll be also on Wednesday night, and then Saturday I'll be back, and then many of my other ministers will be on the broadcast too at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time each and every night, Monday through Sunday, and back again. God bless you all, and you know I'll continue praying for you. I'll pray for you always.
Who has been hurt? There's an answer for you. And for those who can't seem to find. Gotta run from bed to bed looking for love in all the wrong places. God loves you.